Is there something wrong?
Warning. Life support failure on all decks. Abandon ship.
Maybe it is time to take command.
Bridge to captain.
Join Jan Shaw and her guests as they discuss cosmic creating and the path to reclaiming our power as cosmic creators.
Library computer, data being received.
To go where too few have gone before. A production of Cosmic Reality Radio. You're live, Jan.
Thank you, Nancy. Welcome to this week's Cosmic Creating Show. It's November 16th, 2019. My name is Jan Shaw. I'm known as the Success Alchemist, and you can find me at thesuccessalchemist.net. And today I'm going to be talking about manifestation and spirituality, and also linking that to conscious evolution and ascension. And what I'd like to talk about is not only manifestation on a personal level, but also on a global and planetary level, because we really have the power to manifest at many different levels. And I've got quite a number of articles on my website under the blog category, so you can go along there and take a read of them. I'm actually going to be sharing some of that content with you today. So I want to start with just reflecting a little bit on what is happening at the moment. We are being bombarded with lots of energies. There's a lot of talk out on the alternative media about the ascension process. And there's an awful lot of turmoil going on in the political world at the moment as well. And what is happening in the world today is really, if you think about it, a spiritual war going on. It's a battle between dark and light. And this is happening within ourselves. You know, what's happening at the moment is these energies are bringing to the surface these core issues that we've carried with us, in my case, for decades, in our subconscious, the things that trigger us into emotional responses and so on. And if you think about it, what we're observing in the outer world is a huge amount of triggering and also an amazing amount of disclosure of where the dark is and where the light is. And we're given the choice to either choose to be pulled into the darkness or to be steadfast in holding to the light. And it's through our choices that we actually contribute to the manifestation process and manifestation of outcomes. Now, on a personal level, we're choosing, as I say, between light and dark, and it's also between our higher self and our ego. So the ego is very much the fear-based element of our psyche. It's the part of our psychology, our makeup, that is really, its function is to be our protector. So, you know, it's linked to our physical being. I was just looking for the word there and it escaped me for a moment. Physical incarnation. And so it's very much about protecting the physical body. And if we're not careful, that ego can take over and really manage everything that we think, everything we feel, and everything we do. And as I say, it's very much fear-based. And when we allow the ego to take charge, what's happening is that we're manifesting all the things that the ego focuses on, which is generally on the side of the negative. You know, if we're fearful of something and that's our focus, we're going to manifest the things that we're afraid of. If we get our ego under control, and put our higher self in charge, then we're going to be aware of the perception of the ego, but we're not going to allow it to control us. And so we hold that awareness of, well, there's something to be feared over here. I'm not sure it's genuine. What is the outcome that I want to create from my higher consciousness? This is what I'm going to create. And it's very much linked, as I was saying in the introduction, to our conscious evolution. And I just want to talk about an article that I came across, it's some time ago now, which talks about the different dimensions. And of course, this is, as I say, is linked to conscious evolution. And the article was on in5d.com, titled, "What Do You Mean the Third Dimension is Going Away?" And what this means is that through our awakening, we start to move from the third dimension to the fourth dimension, because we're becoming more and more aware of our spiritual nature and the multidimensional reality that we live in, which is a far cry from the limited Newtonian world of the purely physical, where we react to circumstances and we're ruled by logic and the ego. Now, the way we move into fourth dimensional consciousness is through the practice of mindfulness. And this, as I say, is being very aware of our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions, and we become detached observers of our experiences rather than allowing ourselves to be controlled by them and reactive to them. So we exercise conscious choice in the present moment to create the next step towards the outcome we want to achieve. And in doing so, this is how we become more proficient about consciously manifesting things rather than manifesting by accident. So let me explain a little bit about this difference between the dimensions. So, as I said, the ability to manifest our desires consistently requires a higher consciousness. And by that I mean it's impossible to manifest positive outcomes when our ego is in charge. We have to be operating from our higher self with an alignment between our conscious and subconscious mind. So we have to work on our conscious evolution from the third dimensional world of ego to the fourth dimensional world of spirit and the higher self. And I see a comment in the chat room, the 3D isn't going away. And I think that's probably true, that there are people who are here in a state of consciousness that they will remain in the 3D world. What happens is that we will be transitioning through our inner work and through the ascension process into the higher dimensions that are appropriate for the stage of our evolution. So the difference between the third and fourth dimensions is that the third dimension is egoic and the fourth dimension is spiritual. That's why, as we become more proficient at manifestation, it's a result of becoming more spiritually focused than materially focused. So mindfulness is the fourth dimensional state of consciousness, in which we are aware of all our thoughts and feelings, consciously choosing which thoughts to allow into our consciousness. It's the consciousness of unconditional love, self-love. Love is the real power behind everything we do and in our relationships with others. And we have a much, much stronger connection to God or source or spirit or whatever term you prefer. So to attain a state of mindfulness requires focus, commitment, self-discipline, in which we are connected in which we replace egoic, fearful, negative thoughts with higher, spiritual, loving, and empowered thoughts. Recognizing and transforming our thought processes involves facing and dealing with our core issues and limiting beliefs. So it's like peeling off the layers of an onion. As one issue is dealt with and peeled away, another one is revealed. Now, the reason why manifestation can be a roller coaster ride is that when the ego is in charge, our mind is focused on fear and negativity. So we manifest more of what we don't want. Problems, not solutions. Those thoughts reflect our subconscious core issues that still need resolving. It seems like we're failing to manifest, but we're just manifesting the result of those negative thoughts. And one thing I want to say is that these core issues are in our subconscious mind, and our subconscious mind actually controls about 95% of what we do. So, you know, we can consciously intend to manifest something. But if our subconscious mind holds a contradictory belief, so you want to manifest something and your subconscious mind says, well, that's not possible for you. You're not good enough. You're not going to be able to do that. Then that will actually overrule the conscious desire. And so it's by addressing, recognizing and addressing those subconscious beliefs and peeling those layers away that we then have more power in terms of what our conscious mind is desiring. And you know, at one point I used to think the ego was the enemy. I used to think that you've got to destroy the ego or just completely, you know, overcome it. But there's a pretty, you know, common cliche in the law of attraction world that what you resist persists. And of course, by resisting the ego, it actually delays the process of evolution. So when these egoic thoughts arise, you know, don't hate or resent them or get frustrated because it seems as if you can't get rid of this particular issue. If you do, you're reacting from ego and actually strengthening it. Instead, become the detached observer of these thoughts and feelings. Rise above them and thank the ego for drawing this issue to your attention. If you don't know that you've got the issue, you don't have the power to actually address it and resolve it. Recognize the trigger that made these thoughts arise, then consciously replace the negative thought with a positive thought, or with replace the problem or the focus on the problem with the focus on the outcome that you want. And by progressively practicing this, you're actually going to train your brain to think the positive thought instead of the negative thought. And I've shared on a previous show how, you know, it was my horses that trained me to do this, where I was in tricky situations with the horse reacting to something. And I just trained myself to be in the present moment and be aware of what's going on so that I could actually almost instantly switch my attention from the potential problem to what the outcome was that I wanted in those situations. And it does take practice, but the more you practice it, the more you become proficient and it just becomes second nature. So how does this work in practice? You know, the intention is to move from the third to the fourth to the fifth dimension. And actually the fifth dimension is where we have actually become experts at manifestation, and we become capable of instant manifestation. And this is why we have to kind of go through an apprenticeship. We start off in the third, most of us, when we're brought into this world. And through awakening, we then become conscious of this process of mindfulness and so on, and become more proficient at it. In the fifth, because manifestation is instant, because we've evolved, we have to qualify to rise to that level. Because if you think about it, if we had the capability of instant manifestation and we haven't got our thoughts and our feelings under control, we could wreak havoc, because we'd think a negative thought and suddenly that negative outcome would instantly manifest. And, you know, I think we could say that in some respects, some of that is happening now in this dimension, because we're seeing, you know, evidence of all sorts of things going on that are perhaps what we would consider to be negative. But it's only by actually seeing that situation arise that we can actually do something about it. And in the whole process of evolving to a higher dimension, to a higher level of consciousness, we have to go through a process. It's as I was saying, it's like an apprenticeship. And what it means is that we're being tested with experiences that challenge us to see whether we react with third dimensional behavior of resistance, anger, fear, judgment, and we allow the ego to take charge, or whether we respond from inner strength, detachment, modesty, love, gentleness, and acceptance of the present moment as a means to manifest our desired outcome. And I've also said on previous shows, there is definitely a connection between manifestation and our life and soul purpose. And the reason that I believe that is that very often we can manifest things that we haven't consciously intended to manifest. It's like the universe, spirit, source is kind of managing the project, which is our life. And as an ex-project manager, it made complete sense to me in terms of, well, you've got, you know, this whole life project, and there are certain dependencies and certain decision points. It's like a critical point in, you know, what step do you take here? What step do you take there? And I do believe that we are very much guided along that path. And if you think about it, where do your dreams and desires come from? Because we're all part of the divine plan, and we all have a specific and very important life purpose that we've committed to fulfill in this lifetime, and soul purpose, then to me it makes sense that the universe supports you in fulfilling your purpose by seeding ideas that support it. And that includes the original idea of your vision for your life or particular goals. And it also seeds the inspired ideas to help you achieve that vision. And you may even be guided down a path that takes you to an outcome that your conscious self didn't know you wanted or needed. And this is what I mean by things that happen that you didn't consciously intend. And I have a saying that the universe always takes you on the scenic route, which if you think about it, is much more fulfilling and enjoyable than going the shortest, most direct route. It's rather like the difference between going as fast as possible up the freeway versus going across country, visiting interesting towns along the way and meeting really nice people. You're meant to enjoy the journey and gain knowledge, skills, and experience along the way. And because manifestation is linked to purpose, some things may manifest instantly and others may take years. So if you've had an intention that hasn't shown up, don't lose faith. It just means the timing isn't right yet. And we can even have ideas that we've had years ago, and yet they only come to fruition many years later. And I have a great example of that. I can't remember the artist's name, but there's an artist who had an idea years and years ago for a song title, and he didn't have a song to go with it. It was like the idea was there, but the content wasn't ready. And then it was 20 years later that he actually wrote the song, and it was really the result of his life experiences that enabled him to write the song that fitted the song title. So it seemed to me a really good example of, you know, an idea that you have to go through a process of development for the time to be right for that idea to manifest itself into reality. And I've also talked about how I came to believe or to realize that the manifestation that I desired so much from being very, very young in terms of having a pony or a horse only came to fruition years later. I was actually 29 when I got my first horse, but I realized in hindsight that the role of horses in my life was very much linked to my purpose because of what the horses taught me in terms of mindfulness and fear and how to overcome it and about manifestation itself. So let's look at the process that we go through. As I was saying, we were tested with experiences, and they are what I refer to as evolutionary catalysts. So, given that our sole purpose is to ascend out of the third dimension through the fourth dimension to the fifth, our life purpose brings us into environments and situations where we experience things that stimulate our growth in consciousness. Change and growth only come from challenges and adversity. So these experiences are absolutely essential in order for us to qualify for the next level of being. And if you think about it, it's through those challenges that we're given the opportunity to practice our manifestation skills. And when we have that higher awareness, we're more conscious of the fact that where we are focusing our thoughts is going to result in a certain outcome. So that consciousness is very much about making conscious choices rather than reacting to situations and actually making matters worse. So this is how we develop our ability to manifest on purpose. We become fully empowered creators, cosmic creators, just to bring in the name of the show. Our skill in manifestation, in manifesting desired outcomes, develops as our ability to maintain mindfulness increases, because we're not allowing those triggers to happen. We've resolved those inner triggers through our awareness and through peeling off the layers of the onion. So we're not under the control, as I said before, of our ego and our emotions. We're much more working from a place of neutrality and detachment. So I want to just bring in something from the I Ching. I'm a great fan of the I Ching, which is an ancient Chinese oracle. And there's a couple of things I want to read to you. One is actually a whole, what is called hexagram. If you're interested in the I Ching, it's the letter I, pronounced E, and then Ching, C-H-I-N-G. Just do a search on the internet. There's lots of information about it. And one of the quotes is that difficult situations tempt us to doubt the power of humility, acceptance, and correct behavior. We long to abandon our inner balance and lash out. It is just at such moments that it is most important to cling to what we know to be good and true and correct. By doing this, we obtain the aid of the higher power. And this is where, you know, the element of spirituality comes in. We're actually connecting ourselves with that higher power. I actually recommend the translation by Brian Brown Walker, and that's Brown with an E on the end. I was introduced to the I Ching quite a number of years ago, and some of the translations can be really difficult to interpret. There's a lot of symbolism in there, and if you're not really diving deep into the symbolism, you kind of read them and think, well, what on earth does that mean? But I found that Brian Brown Walker's translation and interpretation is very much in today's language and very much easier to understand. What this quote is saying is it's easy to follow proper principles when things are going well. It's when we face our biggest challenges that we're fully tested. If we abandon those proper principles, and that's in quotes because that's the quote from the I Ching, and allow our ego to take over, we are likely to create disaster for ourselves. If we maintain consciousness, stay focused on our intended outcome, and trust in the higher power, we will achieve success, prosperity, and happiness. The hexagram I want to read is very connected to this. And this hexagram, there are 64 hexagrams in the I Ching. And the 64 are actually related to our 64 chromosomes, which is very interesting. If you read the history of the I Ching, it goes into a lot of depth in terms of how the I Ching actually was developed and evolved. This hexagram is hexagram number 26, and it's translated as the taming power of the great. And it says, in the face of rising tension, keep still. Honor in practice what you have learned from the I Ching. A difficult and challenging time must be taken as an opportunity to express in the outer world our highest inner principles. This hexagram counsels us to keep still under pressure and embody the virtues of the I Ching. In this way, even the most arduous trials can be successfully met. Others are often tempted to test the inner strength that we have gained through study and discipline. In other words, other people try to trigger us. By pushing and prodding, they hope to reveal the weakness of our connection to truth. If we allow them to do this, we are undermined and they go on, unlearning and satisfied at having engineered our downfall. On the other hand, if we keep still and cling firmly to what is right, the power of the great, then eventually we can tame the negative energy and instill in others the desire to grow spiritually. That's a bit like, don't react to people when they're on the attack. If you deviate from the path of the sage and act to punish or condemn others now, misfortune will result. Instead, meet attacks with stillness, acceptance, and fidelity to proper principles. Treat others with gentleness, patience, and forgiveness. If you are steadfast in this, good fortune will ultimately be yours. And there is another quote that I want to just read to you. And I realized that I hadn't printed it off before the show, so I'll come back to that in a minute. So going back to the link between manifestation and purpose, one of the things that I always recommend is to look for the higher purpose in everything. There's always a gift or a lesson or an evolutionary catalyst in every situation. And so rather than reacting and thinking, oh, everything's going wrong and this isn't working and poor me, it's really about looking for how you can actually grow from every experience. So when you become the detached observer, this again goes back to my advocacy of neutrality, which regular listeners will know that this is one of the core foundations of the work that I do in my coaching practice. It's through the practice of neutrality that you are able to develop that detachment. And so that gives you the space, the time, the consciousness to make the right choice for yourself and make the right decisions and so on. Now, I'm just looking for this other email so I can read. And I'm still not finding it. So maybe I'll pass on that one. Oh, yes, here we are. The really key quote that I want to share with you is a spiritual understanding that is not practiced under fire is without value. Only by applying our knowledge in trying situations do we come into genuine possession of it. So if you think about it, there are a lot of people out there and spiritual people who are very good at practicing their spirituality when things are going well and when people are agreeing with them and, you know, when they're in their meditation room. But they get out into the world and they react and don't apply the spiritual principles to that day-to-day situation. And I'd like to just link or talk about the difference between spirituality and consciousness. You can be a spiritual person without being conscious. There are spiritual people that actually want to avoid this. They want to escape this physical world. They're hoping for ascension to happen to rescue them from the physical world and the physical existence. They just want to float off into the ether and kind of go to the higher realms. But you can't do that without doing the work that we're here to do. So they're in a way also wanting to escape doing the inner work that is so essential. So they think that practicing these spiritual activities, yoga, meditation, and so on is all they need to do to ensure that ascension for them happens. But by ignoring or avoiding or repressing those inner core issues and not dealing with them, that failure to do the inner work gets exposed when they meet the challenges of life in the physical world. And, you know, we're here in the physical for a reason. We're here to experience growth. We're here to experience challenges. Excuse me. And I know we often think, oh gosh, why did I sign up for this? Because we know we've come here with full agreement of the things that we're going to face. And I think, you know, from my understanding, we often agree to do things that we don't really understand the implications of before we land in the physical. And it's sometimes I think many of us think, why on earth did we agree to this? Because this is tough. But we're never given things that are beyond our capability to deal with. Yes, we're pushed out of our comfort zone on a regular basis, but we're given things that we all have the power and the capability to deal with, and practice our manifestation skills, practice approaching things with consciousness, and practicing things with really the higher emotions as opposed to the egoic emotions. Okay, so I want to introduce something as well that was a very interesting. Before I do that, I want to just go back to talking about manifesting things we've not consciously intended. And actually, this show is a great example of that, because I've been broadcasting since 2000, and I think it was early 2011 or late 2010. This is in the lead up to the Festival of Enlightenment that I organized in 2011. And I started by interviewing the speakers on Blog Talk Radio as a way of promoting the festival, and got really nice feedback from the people I was interviewing. So I carried on. And I at the time, this was about 4 or 5 years ago now, I think. I can't remember the exact date, but I was following a blog called The Golden Age of Gaia. And that was a website that used to basically pull in content from all over the internet relating to ascension and so on. And, you know, the golden age that we're all hoping will come soon. And I came across an article by, I'm having a senior moment again. I'll have the name in a minute. I came across an article that was talking about Jack the Watcher. And Jack the Watcher is a racehorse. And he was communicating, and Nancy, if you're listening, could you remind me of her name, because I've got a completely blank mind at the moment.
Jean Rockefeller.
Thank you. Yes, it was Jean Rockefeller. And this was a post by Jean Rockefeller, and you know, because of my passion for horses, I had to read this article, and it was basically about the messages that Jack the Watcher was passing to Jean. So I thought, well, I need to go and explore this website. And that was where I came across the link to Cosmic Reality. And I downloaded the Cosmic Reality book and made contact with Nancy on Facebook. And as they say, the rest is history. But the interesting thing was that, you know, I'd followed the breadcrumb trail to find Nancy. And then, of course, I interviewed Nancy on my show. Nancy interviewed me on her show. And then when she decided to set up her own radio network, Cosmic Reality Radio, interestingly, how the universe conspires, I'd had a break at the end of 2016 from broadcasting, and I decided 1st of January or early January I was going to start broadcasting again. It was one of those things that I felt was really part of my purpose, to provide a platform for, you know, spreading this information, having really interesting guests. And I went back onto Blog Talk Radio and I had complete technical meltdown. I couldn't get the platform to work properly. The sound wasn't working. This happened on three successive weeks, I think. And in the end, I contacted Nancy and said, when are you going to have your radio network ready? Because this Blog Talk Radio thing is just not working. And sure enough, Nancy was almost there. And so that was when I joined Cosmic Reality Radio. I think it was in about March of 2017. But what I want to add to this is that very often the things that appear to be negative are actually the things that need to move aside in order to make space for the right thing to manifest. And I think what had happened was that, you know, I think the universal plan was for me to be part of the cosmic reality family and to have my own show on there. And so I don't know even if it was my Mercury retrograde or not, but sure enough, the Blog Talk platform was made to be the most uncomfortable place to be and to push me into moving in the right direction. And so, you know, there are lots of things that happen that, you know, that really lead us to the next step on our path. I don't know about you, but I've had so many instances where things have come into my awareness that lead me to the next step on the path of understanding, of awareness, of, you know, the metaphysical. One example was when I was at the ranch in Austin, the Arabian Horse Ranch. There was a lady who came to the ranch who I think was a friend of or had been involved with the ranch in some way. And we started talking and somehow it got onto the subject of consciousness and manifestation and all of these things. And she said to me, "Have you heard of Dolores Cannon?" And I said, "No, I haven't heard of Dolores Cannon." And she said, "Well, you really ought to look at her stuff. She's really good." And so, you know, number one, I'm an avid reader and I'm an avid learner. So as soon as I got back to the house and got on the internet, I looked up Dolores Cannon and discovered that she'd written 18 books, which were transcripts of sessions, quantum healing hypnosis therapy is the modality that she developed, in which she engaged her client's super consciousness. And what she basically did was she conducted past life regression sessions and she recorded the sessions and transcribed them into these various different books. And it was really a fascinating insight into the multidimensional nature of reincarnation and of past lives and so on. And one particular book was related to the New Earth. It was called The Three Waves of Volunteers and the New Earth. And what this book was talking about was that because of the ascension process that we're going through, there have been three waves of volunteers who have come to be incarnated on this planet at different stages of the process. And the first wave was probably around the 1950s, maybe the late 40s. And these were the first people that came along to start to bring light onto the planet. The second wave would have been, let me see, the time I read this, which was, I guess, where are we, 2019 now, about 5 years ago, I would think, was saying that the second wave were the people that were in their maybe early 30s. And then the third wave, basically the indigos and crystal children. And I read this story about the three waves, and it came to me that, you know, I was a first waver. And when I read about the role of these first wavers, it very much aligned with, you know, what I'd been led to do since my awakening and the nature of the new earth that was being at the moment gestated rather than necessarily being born. It might be in the process of labor at the moment. It really shed light on the much bigger picture of what we're all involved with here. Now, it wasn't like I just went and searched for the new earth or, you know, volunteers or anything. It was literally handed to me in terms of, this is the next bit you need to read in order to learn what's really going on in the world. So, you know, that was interesting. And I want to tell you a little bit as well about the Festival of Enlightenment itself, because that I set out on that to do it as a manifestation research project, because by that time I'd had maybe 2 or 3 years of awareness of the law of attraction, and I'd actually, you know, been struggling to make it work because I was first introduced to it through The Secret, the movie. And, you know, I was following the instructions according to that movie and nothing seemed to be working. And of course, that movie scratched the surface. I mean, it was a great introduction for people to a concept that was probably completely new to them. It certainly was to me. The idea that you can create your own reality had never even entered my consciousness until I came across that. And again, I was led on a path of discovery of that, which, as I've said in previous shows, was really initiated through my experience with my horse, and actually in parallel, my experiences with my second husband. So I got really interested in the subject, and the way that the Festival of Enlightenment happened was, it came to me as a vision in a manifestation that I needed to create a festival that was going to be music and speakers, personal development, spiritual development, and so on, and that it had to be in nature. And I was living in the UK at the time with husband number three, who happened to be an American, and we came over in 2010 and basically started out on the mission to create the festival. And it was really interesting because this vision that I was given and the mission to accomplish it, I really felt deep down that failure was not an option. It was like, I have to carry this out with no giving up, no possibility of not following through with it. And I have to say that the process of creating that festival made me face up to every single core issue I had, you know, worthiness, the fear of around money, you know, scarcity mentality, because there were many times when we literally ran out of money for this. And, you know, so many times when we could have given up. And yet, because the mission was so strongly held in my being, there was no way that I could not complete this, what I consider to be a divine mission that I'd been given. And it was so interesting because this was where, again, to bring together the life purpose and soul purpose connection, this festival was the perfect situation to actually bring those issues that I, you know, as part of my soul purpose to address, brought them to the surface. And it was interesting. I was, when I was recruiting the speakers, I would speak to them all by phone to make sure that they were in alignment with the vision of the festival. And one day I was speaking to a guy called Panache Desai, and he is of Asian descent. I think he was from India. He actually came from the UK and was living in Florida, and did actually go on after the festival to become quite well known. He was on the Oprah show, I think. And when I was explaining what the festival was all about, he made a comment which thankfully didn't trigger me. I'd done enough work on my ego by then. He said, you know, you're not doing this to save the world, or you're not doing this for everybody else. You're doing this for yourself. And I kind of was a little bit taken aback. And I said, oh, that's very interesting. What do you mean by that? And it basically explained that it's through taking on these kinds of challenges that we actually are benefiting ourselves through, you know, the work that we do, through the growth, through the learning and everything else. And he was perfectly right, because, you know, when I look back at all those challenges that came up along the way, it was definitely my, let me say, curriculum for self-development. But, you know, the interesting thing is that so many people who wanted to be involved with the festival could not buy into the concept that this could be manifested. And it was really interesting because there were people talking about manifestation, but it seemed like their focus was totally on the obstacles. And I have a saying, always make the vision in your mind much bigger than the obstacles, because there are always obstacles. But if you're always focused on, well, it can't happen because of this, or it can't happen because of that, or then that is what is going to manifest. And so many people jumped on the bandwagon, oh, I want to be involved, but most of them actually dropped off pretty quickly because they couldn't, that they were not embodying the concepts of manifestation. They like to think of it as an intellectual possibility, but when it came down to actually living that way, that living through the real commitment and belief in the possibility of creating a reality, they had too much doubt. And so in a way, it kind of sabotaged the festival, because as Nancy says in the rules of cosmic reality, majority rules. So if you have a number of people who are aware of a certain intention or vision, who actually don't believe in the possibility, it can really affect the success of your manifestation. But despite all that, the festival actually went ahead, and it was very interesting because there were certain things that happened towards the end of the preparation period. And originally we thought about putting this festival on outdoors with tents and, you know, like an outdoor festival. And things just weren't coming together. And very late in the process, a matter of weeks beforehand, it became apparent that this potential venue that we were going to use wasn't going to work. So I started looking for alternatives, you know, alternative venues. And, you know, there were a number with it. This was held in Estes Park, Colorado. And at the time I was living in Evergreen, Colorado, which is in the foothills just west of Denver. So there were plenty of options within the city, but that didn't fit the criteria of being in nature, because I really felt it was so important to for people to be connected with nature and the energy of nature. And I came across a venue in Estes Park, which is actually the YMCA. And this was in May of 2011, and the festival was happening in June, so it was literally the last minute. And went up to visit the place to see if it was going to fit the bill. And interestingly, the first thing that the event manager said was that, well, you're very lucky because we have a Texas church that come up every year for a big convention, and they've just cancelled. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had any space at all because we're booked up 10 years in advance. So it was like miracle number one that this place was available in a beautiful setting right by the Rocky Mountain National Park, and a huge campus area with lodges and cabins and meeting rooms and everything that we needed for the festival. And I realize I'm running out of time here on the show, so I want to basically cut to the chase. We manifested this venue around about the same time we had to move out of the cabin we were renting, because the owners wanted to be back for the summer. So we miraculously manifested within about a week or so the perfect place to move to, which was far better than the cabin we were leaving for the same amount of money. But the real culmination to all of this that really, for me, underscored so strongly that this festival was meant to be and it was my mission to organize it was the transformation that happened for the people that were there was phenomenal, and the people are still connected with each other, which is quite amazing considering it's now over eight years since it happened. I've had several people who were either there or who were speakers there who've been on my show. But what was different about this festival was that everybody was treated or regarded as being equal on the same level. There was no, oh, this is the guru over here and this is the lowly attendee down here. Everybody mixed together. And in the final ceremony, which was given to me intuitively, that this had to be, the closing ceremony had to be with everybody on the same level, not people on a stage and people kind of down below watching. We actually held a peace pipe or a pipe ceremony, which was led by a Lakota elder, where we passed the pipe around and people just shared their experiences. And then at the end of the ceremony, there was a clap of thunder from nowhere. And it was like a pat on the back, a round of applause to say, you've done very well. Well done. But this comes back to what I was saying about there's so much power that is supporting us in our purpose and helping us to manifest the things that are so integral to our purpose that it's amazing how many miracles can actually happen. So I'm going to close on that point with that story. And I really want to thank you for listening. As I say, you can find me at thesuccessalchemist.net and take a look at my blog. I've got lots of articles on there. And you can also find me at the Success, Jan Shaw, the Success Alchemist on Facebook and on YouTube. And I hope you'll join me next week. I've got a very interesting guest lined up. I'm sure you'll enjoy hearing all about her. And I do appreciate you being here and listening. And thank you, Nancy, for producing.
You have been listening to the Cosmic Creating Radio Show with Jan Shaw, a production of Cosmic Reality Radio.
Live long and prosper.